I'm speaking with Bob Dineen, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. And Bob, we generally seem to talk mostly these days about E15, and now we have some exciting news. The first E15 in the nation, yes, is actually being sold. Tell us about that.
Well, thankfully, we do have a marketer in the great state of Kansas that is willing to offer E15 for his consumers. He believes in choice. He believes in providing consumers with options that might actually lower the price of gasoline. And so Zarco in Kansas is going to be offering E15 starting now.
And this isn't just a little retailer here. The guy is very committed to ethanol and other alternative biofuels. And Zarco is a pretty big retail chain, right?
Indeed it is. And in fact, I believe Scott Zaremba, who is the CEO for Zarco, is a leader within the Independent Gasoline Marketers Association. So he's not just a big player in Kansas. Nationally, he has a profile within the marketers organization, which is very important as well.
Now, he still had to overcome the issue that they were facing in Iowa last week when they tried to be the first one, and that is that they couldn't get the appropriate blend stock locally to use with E15. How are they overcoming that issue?
Well, I think he's reached out to some folks, and they are helping him secure a specially tailored blend stock, a low RVP gasoline, and shipping it on in. It's not ideal, but I think it's important to get E15 out there in some form or fashion, and we're excited about it.
This comes at a time when we're seeing, especially just here in this last week, we're seeing renewed attacks, I would say, stronger attacks even on the renewable fuel standard, especially with the condition of the corn crop, which is definitely not good at this point in time. And you participated in a hearing about that, a House subcommittee hearing. Tell us a little bit about what you're facing, what the ethanol industry is facing as far as attacks right now on the RFS, and why it's so important to maintain it the way it is.
Well, there's no question that the oil industry is doing everything they possibly can to undermine the integrity of the RFS. I was testifying alongside Jack Girard, who is the president of the American Petroleum Institute, who told members of Congress that the RFS was broken and needed to be overhauled. He talked about everything from having to blend phantom fuel, cellulosic ethanol, to fraud in the renewable identification numbers, the RINs that are being sold out there. And I had to take exception to that. I tried to tell members of Congress that, no, indeed, this is a very successful program. It's helping to reduce our dependency on imported oil. EPA has great flexibility to address the shortfall in cellulosic production. And by the way, it's not that those fuels don't exist. They do exist. They are being produced, not at commercial volumes today, but the investments are being made to see that that happens. And I also try to put the RIN fraud issue in some context as well, because while there have been 29 billion, with a B, RINs that have been sold in the last several years, there's been fraud identified or alleged in only 140 million of those. So that's less than one half of 1%, and none of those associated with ethanol RINs. It's an issue that has been really just with the biodiesel industry, and we need to address that issue. There's no question, but you don't need legislation to do it. The EPA or the industry itself has more than enough incentive and expertise to resolve that issue.
Well, the issue of cellulosic ethanol not existing, it has been brought up several times. I know we had a big Fox News story on it last week, and then you had Representative Flake came out with some new legislation, as you said, about it. And what they're saying makes it sound really dumb. You know, when they say, well, how can we mandate the use of a fuel that doesn't exist? And I think they are putting the industry in a position where you have to defend yourself against that. And I think it's worth repeating why this is, how this is structured the way it is and why it's important. And granted the fact that cellulosic ethanol has just not happened commercially as fast as we wanted it to.
Well, I mean, sure. Nobody anticipated the economic collapse in 2008 and the financing freeze that came along with it, making it extraordinarily difficult to get a loan for a bike, much less a $400 million Cellulosic ethanol plant. But that really misses the larger point here, in that EPA has the flexibility to waive that requirement when the production isn't going to be there, and that's what they've done. So you can't complain on the one hand that these fuels that don't exist are being mandated, and then benefit from the fact that EPA is waiving that very mandate. So the oil companies, God bless them, are crying with crocodile tears on this one. I think that the program is necessary to encourage investment in these new technologies. That's exactly what's happening today, and that's exactly what has the oil companies nervous as all get out.
Well, another thing that we're going to be facing here this week is really the reality of some pretty serious lowering of corn yields this year because of the weather. And that's going to turn around again and start the whole food versus fuel thing. And do we have enough corn to make ethanol and to do the things that we need to do this year? So, Bob, what do you say to that?
Well, the marketplace is most certainly going to be the most efficient mechanism to ration demand. You've already seen some ethanol producers slow production, a couple of plants shutting down. That's in response to a very clear marketplace signal. So instead of operating at 105% of capacity, we are today at 92% of capacity. The oil industry, I'd remind you, is also operating at less than 100%. They're at 88% of capacity. That's what mature industries do when faced with a commodity market and tough market conditions like this. I'm not all that concerned about our ability to meet the RFS. There is more than 1 billion gallons of ethanol in stocks. There are more than 2.5 billion RINs out there that marketers could utilize to meet their requirement. And I believe that the program itself, the integrity of the program, is just fine. It is indeed a tough market out there. And certainly yields are coming down, but I also know that the American farmer has always been able to produce, and I've not yet written this crop off.